by the fame, by everything that's going around, and what these people are saying. They're saying good things about Jesus and what he's been able to do. And verse 2, and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead. All right? There's this guy, Herod. He's obviously heard some preaching, because he believes in a resurrection, okay? And so it's going to look like that he's been listening to John's preaching, because there's some things that we're going to go through, and we'll see that he's been listening to some of the things John had said, and he's going to change some things in his life. But he believes in a resurrection. And the Bible says, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Verse 3, for Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. Now, this is similar to what King David did, okay? And this shows that if you want something bad enough in life, it will override your common sense, right? If you want something so bad in life that you don't have, and a lot of times it'll override your common sense, and you'll do anything to get it, even if it means to kill an innocent person. And so we got to be careful of the wants of this life, especially as Christians. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. I don't even know why I got this written down here. Verse 6. Yeah. The Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And for the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay, but this guy Herod here, he had money, right? He had a lot of things, but look at what happened. He wanted something that he didn't have, and so he got it. He ended up killing a guy over it. And now what's he doing? He's drowning. He's drowning in perdition. It's destroying him. His conscience is starting to destroy this man. And so another thing that you can desire is money. Money can lure you into doing something that goes beyond common sense. And so we don't want to be looking at things of this world and wanting them so bad that we'll cut another guy out of a job that maybe it should have been his, or, you know, we'll, you know, things like that. Things like that. You don't want to hurt people to get the things that you want in life. And so, you know why a guy doesn't get saved today? Another reason why he doesn't get saved, because he's after something that if he got saved, the Lord wouldn't want him to have it. That's a reason that a guy might not get saved, because he knows that if he gets this, that the Lord's not going to want him to have it. He'd have to give it up. That not only keeps the unsaved from getting saved, but it also keeps the saved out of the will of God. When you want something that God doesn't want you to have, it gets in the way of you doing things for Him. And so we got to be careful of those things. It doesn't matter what you get in this world, okay? There's always something you don't have. There's always something we don't have. And if you look at Herod, he had power, right? He had rule over a fourth part of the the Roman Empire. And he had wealth. Comes with ruling. You get wealth. He has privy inside information to the stock market and stuff. So he's got wealth. He's got he had this control, and he had power over people. Okay? But that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. He had to have his brother's wife. And so even if you had everything, including the whole world, you could gain the whole world, right? And lose your soul. You would be miserable if you without Jesus Christ. And there's you look at Alexander the Great. This is a man that conquered the world by the age of 33. And you know what he said? He said, there are no more worlds to conquer. That's what he said. There are no more worlds to conquer. And so there was nothing to keep him going. He ended up dying of some venereal disease. Miserable, miserable man. But now if you have salvation in the Lord, you'll never run out of things, right? You'll never run out of things because the Bible's infinite. Salvation in Jesus Christ is eternal, forever. And the relationship that we have with Christ is on a supernatural realm, right? And so who's ever going to get enough of that? Who can ever get enough of that? Now, you can get enough if you don't want it anymore. But you'll still, you know, if you've got salvation, you're still saved, even if you don't want it now. God's got a surprise for you. And so Herod, he's afraid of losing Herodias. Here's a man, notice if you would, that he let a position go to his head. His position went to his head. And you see it a lot in the workforce. Guy will be working with the tools one day, you know, wrenching on flanges and stuff, and they'll set him up in a position. And you would be surprised how little $2 changes a man. A little bit of power changes them. And they want to lord over you. And you're like, really? Yesterday you were doing this. But there's a saying that goes with that about the ladder. As you climb the ladder, you got to be careful. Because those same people you're going to be kissing up to on the way down the ladder are the same ones that you kick on the way up. But anyway. But this guy let the authority go to his head. And he became a lord over people. And he abused his power and authority to take a woman that was already married. And David did the same exact thing. And if we don't check our hearts, Christians can do the same exact thing. Okay? And hey, we got to use these Bible principles. Let every man esteem others better than himself. Hey, Herod can be better than you. Right? If you know not to do something, and you've got the Word of God, and you've got all this training, and you go ahead and do it anyway, Herod's a better man than you. Because he didn't have all the information that we have today. All he had was a sermon John preached, and we'll go into that a little bit later. But David did the same thing. And so when you're in a position of authority, or a position where you have power over other people, how do you handle it? Okay, that's a great test of character of a person, is how they handle a position of power or rulership over somebody. And you can tell a lot about somebody by how they react to that. Do you usurp the power that you have to get what you want? A lot of politicians do. A lot of politicians do. Or do you use this power for the betterment of not only the people that are below you, but the people that are above you. Right? I mean, we all have somebody that's above us. No matter if you're a king of the world or a ruler of the world, there's somebody that's going to be over you, and that's God. And so, how are you using that position to better the people below you, bring honor and glory to the people that are above you? And that's how we got to look at that. Hey, the higher up you go in life, in positions, the more of a servant you need to become. Because the people that below you are counting on you for so that they can do what they're doing. They need your guidance. And so you have to actually serve them into a place where they can do their thing and do it efficiently and correctly. And in order to do that, you have to become a servant for that. Look at what Jesus Christ did. He became a servant. And he came down on the earth and he was ruler of the world. He's creator of the universe. And he became a servant. And then we need to look at Jesus Christ and look how we're to do that. Those are good examples. But here's a woman who is spoken for already. She's married. Now, mind you, by the sound of things here, Philip is in the best position that he could be in. Right? This is Philip's wife. Verse 3, for Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. He's in the best position that man could ever be in. He didn't have to do anything to get rid of this woman. Right? Here's a woman, and we'll read about her a little later, but here's a woman that she'll go to extremes to get her way. But Herod is not, he's the same. He's the same type of person. And we're going to see that, we're going to talk about him today. But he's the same type of person here. He didn't have to do anything to get rid of this nagging woman. All right? Which probably saw that opportunity, and most likely he didn't say anything when it happened. He saw it as an opportunity here. Okay? Because you don't read anything about Philip getting his head cut off. No, he didn't speak up. He didn't say anything. He didn't object. He didn't object to that. The Bible doesn't record it. And so I'm going to look at it as he didn't object, because otherwise he'd be in the same position John was in. But think about it. Look at how Philip can now live out his life. Right? He can live out his life peacefully. This Philip character, he's no dummy. He realizes that this woman that would consider leaving him for another man, it's not worth his time and effort. Very smart individual. Didn't fight for it, he just let it go. And I'll tell you what, folks, you look at Jesus Christ. He died and he paid the price on the cross. If you don't come to him willfully, he's not going to fight for you. All right? He's going to let you go and do your thing. And that's what this Philip character did. He let that woman do whatever she was going to do. And so he figured it's not losing his head over. And so here's a woman that's married already, and she probably isn't poor. We know Herod isn't poor. This woman is part of the family, in the family of Herod. Okay? His brother Philip's wife. They're probably not poor. But this isn't good enough for her. She's married. She's got a husband. She's probably not poor, but it's not good enough for her. All right? Here's a man. He's a ruler. He's got all the power in the world. Got money. But that's not good enough for him. Birds of a feather flock together. All right? And that's, this woman is getting the same person that that she deserves, and he's getting the same person that he deserves. And this isn't good enough for these two people. The things in life that they already have is not good enough. And so, without Christ, you'll never be satisfied. You'll never be satisfied in this world without Jesus Christ. You'll always want more. And when you get it, you'll want more. And when you get that, you'll want more. And when you get everything you're ever going to get, you'll die a miserable life, and you'll be in misery for the rest of eternity without Jesus Christ. Verse 4, "For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her." Now think about it. How did John get close enough to Herod, who was a ruler, the fourth part of a Roman Empire? How did he get close enough to this man to be able to tell him this? In order for us to see this, let's go over to, if you would, to the Mark passage. Mark 6. John's a preacher. And he's preaching to people. John's Mark 6, 14. Or 17. We'll start in verse 14. "And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly." Okay? So, here's a guy preaching out on the street corner. Everybody's flocking to him. Herod probably went and heard John preaching. He probably heard him preaching messages week after week, right? And it looks like he's preaching, and Herod starts coming to his preaching messages. Maybe started on Sunday. Herod starts going to church on Sunday. Okay? And it looks like that Herod is coming to observe him and to hear what he has to say. And the Bible says that Herod did many of the things and heard him gladly. Okay, if you're hearing him gladly and you're doing many things, it means you're changing something in your life. What are you changing? John must be preaching something that this guy is hearing, and he's hearing it gladly. Okay, and he's starting to adjust things in his life. And, hey, people will come to church week after week after week, and they'll sit out there with a smile on their face, and they'll enjoy the preaching. Right? They'll enjoy the preaching. And they'll even change some of the things that the preacher's talking about. They'll change so many things in their lives because they're glad to hear it. And they'll come back week after week, that is, until the preacher exposes the sin in their life. And then once the sin is exposed in front of a whole crowd, hey, think about it. How many times have you sat out there and heard the preaching under a preacher and thought that the preacher was pointing right at you and speaking right to you in front of everybody, and you're wondering, how does he know? Okay? The moment you start exposing people's sin, now they want to kill you. And look, if you would, this is probably what he's preaching, Leviticus 18. It's never recorded that John deviated from what he was supposed to be doing. Okay, it's recorded that Paul did, but it's not recorded that John did. So I'm going to make the assumption here that John's doing what he's supposed to be doing and speaking to the Jews. And Herod's just there in the crowd. And he's speaking to these Jews in Leviticus 18, verse 16. And he's preaching a message that day. And what does he say? He says, the Bible says, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. And then he goes on, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her daughter, her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. And here in front of the whole crowd, he's preaching this message. And Herod hears this thing. Alright? And he knows that everybody out there knows what he had just done or what he's about to do. And John undoubtedly went into how wicked this type of a sin was. Now let's look at the reaction of Herod. Matthew chapter 14, verse 5. What's his reaction? This is his initial reaction. And when he would have put him to death, this is Herod, when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. Okay? He's fearing the multitude. There's people out there. There's witnesses. And so, he was pricked in his heart about this matter, and his first reaction was to take the preacher out. And I'll tell you, the first reaction in my heart, when I hear sin being brought up in my life and a thing is, ooh, man, you don't like it. It's not good. And sometimes, because of the multitude, you won't say nothing. But at home, you've already cut the head off of this guy, and you're roasting him for roast preacher. Trying to have roast preacher that afternoon. And the head sitting in the charger with a little apple in his mouth. Right? We've all done it. We're all sinners. And that's wrong. That's wrong. But I'll bet if nobody was around, Herod would have killed that man, regardless of his wife. Regardless of if he could get away with it, he would have did it. That was his first reaction. It's okay, folks, to be a preacher and preach about heaven. And it's okay to be a preacher and preach about good things and soften the bad things up so that people can hear them and you don't really offend them too bad. But the moment that you start to expose people's sin, I don't care who you are, it's not going to go over well with those that are committing that sin. And a lot of times they'd kill you if they could. They could get away with it. They'd kill you. But the fear of the consequences that are a result of that sin is in the way. Why? People around them would see the injustice. Especially if there's people around. I'll tell you what. Hey, the Bible doesn't tell you to go out with two people, you know, for no reason. There's a witness there. And if there's no witness there and you're in a dark alley and you're preaching against somebody's sin, you may not come out of there. There's been a lot of times up at this dark corner on, the adultery bookstore area, that I'm sure that if there wasn't somebody there, I would have been dead. I mean, there's some people that they don't like their sin being exposed, folks, and they'll come at you. But People don't want their sin exposed. They surely don't want you to expose it in front of other people where they can see that what you've been doing is sin. And so, especially during a powerful preaching message, people want other people to think well of them. And at the same time, they want to do whatever they want to do. And that's just how the hearts of men are. But the moment that you bring it out, they're planning on how they can get rid of you. Now, Herod has a little time to cool down here, and you notice that later on. I mean, it says here in verse 6, but when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me John the Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was very sorry. So undoubtedly, his first reaction was to kill him. The second reaction was, hey, the people won't let me kill this guy, because I'm afraid of the multitude here. But they're not going to say anything if I arrest him. Right? And that's what he has done. He has them arrested. And he has them bound. People don't really say too much about when a Christian gets arrested. But you kill a Christian in the street, authorities kill a Christian in the street, that won't go over too well with the world. Arrest them, and you can make them, you can smear their name all over the news. But hey, he probably made up some law that, hey, he was preaching on a government property today, that's why we arrested him. It's probably what he made up, some weird thing about like that. But look, if you would, the same reason that Herod doesn't kill John is Matthew 21 is the same reason that the Pharisees, they don't do certain things to Jesus as well. They don't even answer him in certain things. Matthew 21, 26, because they fear the multitude. They fear the multitude. Verse 26, chapter 21, verse 26. But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. So people, they tend not to do things, especially when there's a big following of people that are for somebody. And the reason why the government, whatever you want to call it, our government, the reason why they're very, very careful how they handle big name preachers is because those people have great followings. And people, these politicians especially, they're voted into office. And when they do bad things to big name people that a lot of people are following, they're going to lose votes. If you believe that your vote actually counts in this country, some people do. Some politicians do. But this guy Herod, he fears a few things here. He fears his conscience, verse 2. He fears John because of what John is capable, how John is capable of exposing sin. Okay? He fears John, verse 4. He fears the multitude, verse 5. He fears ridicule, verse 9. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for an oath's sake. And them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. He fears ridicule. He fears losing Herodias. Now, do you see how messed up this guy is? He's afraid of everything. He's afraid of everything. If a leaf blew on the ground, he'd be afraid of it. The only thing that he should be afraid of, he's not afraid of. He's not afraid of God. And the Bible says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. It would have been wise for Herod to say, what I'm about to do with this woman is wrong, I'm not going to do it. But no. It would have been, if he already did it and John exposed the sin, hey, it would have been wise for Herod to say, I messed up, I'm getting rid of that sin. That'll be the best thing I ever did. But he doesn't. He lets the fear of man bring a snare in his life. And the Bible does say, Bible says, Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. He'd have been safer to trust the Lord and trust what John the Baptist was saying when he heard the message and listen to that and put the smile on his face out in the pew, right? And said, I need to change that in my life. He changed other things and he should have heard him gladly, but he didn't. He didn't. Fear man, bring the snare. So no matter which way this man turns, eventually he has to face his fear. He has to face his fear. And that is, the fear that he's going to have to face is that one day he's going to have to answer for his sin to the Creator. And the only way that you'll never have to answer for your sin, right, is to get it washed away. It never gets brought up again if it's washed away. It never gets brought up again if it's not there. And the only way you get your sins washed away is to trust in Jesus Christ. And you never have to answer for your sins because they're not there. And so that ought to show us, hey, you need to be afraid of God. You need to be afraid of what he has to say in his Bible. But you need to be afraid of losing your soul and trust Jesus Christ if you're not saved. Then you don't have to be afraid of anything. You're saved. You don't have to answer for sins that aren't there. We'll go ahead and stop there. Thanks. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words and your truths, Lord, that are there. And we're just grateful, Lord, that you just, wow, you sacrificed everything. And it's hard to believe that people won't just trust you. How? Why? It just doesn't make sense. But we pray that we would just be lights in the world for those that are unsaved, that they can see the light of Jesus Christ shining amongst us, Lord. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.